I greet you in the name of God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Christ Jesus. May it be that we receive mercy, peace, and love. A very warm welcome to our worship service. It's Easter, and I just want to say a happy Easter to each one of you today. A blessed Easter for us here at St. Paul's. May we have a smile on our face, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen. He is alive and he reigns from heaven above. So the last couple of days has been quite a mournful or a sad time because we reflected upon the death of Christ, of God. And we done it in a way that we thought there's no hope. God died. But today is the sense of there is hope. God is alive and he reigns from heaven above. So it's a joyful day, and we will be celebrating and worshiping God with a smile on our face. Then I just want to say how beautiful the church looks. Look, so if you just have a look around, it's wonderfully done. And I just want to thank the team who has done the decoration. I think it's fantastic. So thank you so much for that. That's absolutely wonderful. Then I'm also glad to say that Jigsaw will be involved in the worship today, so they will be doing a drama for us during the service, so I am looking forward to seeing that. And then just a last personal reflection to share with you, and then I will invite Margaret forward to do the intimations. I had a very interesting dream last night about, I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I saw this picture of a sunrise and the sun just shining on my face. And I didn't really think much about it, but then my wife reminded me that it is Easter Sunday. And so I just want to share this vision of the sun rising, this light shining on our face. And that's really what today is about, is this realization that there is light, that there is hope. And on Easter Sunday, I think my dream was very quite relevant for our service today, and I just want to share that vision with you. And on that note, I'm going to invite Margaret to do some intimation for us.
Intimations. The cafe will be open today after worship. For anybody that would like to go down. The cafe is also open on Tuesday and Wednesday this week while the shop's on. The shop starts on Tuesday, folks, for anybody that has missed it, the signs that we've got up. Knit and Natter, I'm not actually sure if it's on tomorrow, so I'll need to double check that, but we'll post it on Facebook to let you know if it is intending to be on. Mainly Music's off for a second week. Jingle Jars raised £404.67. Thank you to everybody that contributed. And we've got tickets on sale for the musical evening for Elizabeth Cleland's Clyde Valley Praise Band, which is on Sunday the 23rd of April, £3 per ticket. And we've got a donation from the Guild this morning, £1,500 to the church funds. So thank you very much to the Guild. And a final word. We've actually had got a present this morning to the church. I don't know if Ali's going to come and just mention it. Oh, and they've been hard at work.
So this is a diamond art painting that my Aunt William made, and it's been gifted to a church on behalf of my aunt, myself, my sister and my dad. My aunt's worked really hard on it. It's diamond art and it's of the Last Supper.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that wonderful gift, and I'm sure the church family really appreciate your hard work and the beautiful gestures. So thank you so much for that. Call to worship. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Lord, guide us to safety. Let us worship God with our first hymn. Jesus calls us here to meet him. Lord, you have risen, and we glorify you that you were conqueror over death itself. Death wasn't able to bring you down. You rose from the death, Lord, and you are the winner. And for this, Lord, we praise and we thank you. Thank you for taking the sting out of death, and our hope for life in you is a new today. Thank you that we can newly think of the life that we have in you and with you. We dedicate this service to you, God, giving acknowledgement for your actions in death, but your actions in life. We reflect on the rock that was rolled away, and you came out alive, and you reign still in our hearts and from heaven above. We humble ourselves in your presence, God. In humility, we sense your love filling every corner of our being. Thank you for that love penetrating our very souls. May we feel you. May we sense you, God. May the sweetness of your death enrich us in this very moment. Lord God, forgive us if we do not take serious the immense suffering you went through. Forgive us if we take lightly the life you give us. May we not miss the fact that your sacrifice was more than we can think, more than we can imagine. Thank you for that life that we have in you. Give us now a deep insight and a sense to your grace. Give us insight into the sacrifice and the love that we can find in you. And may that inspire us to serve in the community, to serve in your church. With a sense of gratitude and a sense of joy, we pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing about the love of Jesus. Let's sing about the love of God with our next hymn, 490, Jesus, Lover of My Soul.
Oh no, those pesky health and safety officers are back in the church again. You might want to watch out.
Jennifer, what's so special about Easter?
We get Easter eggs.
Let's have a look at these eggs.
There are over 300 calories in this egg. This will need to be reported.
How many of these eggs do you have at home? How many do you have?
Six.
How many do you have?
Six.
How many do you have?
Six.
How many do you have?
Eight.
How many do you have?
Five.
Not good, not good at all. This needs to be reported. What are you singing?
We decorated hard-boiled eggs at Jigsaw, and later we are going to roll egg, and when they break, eat them. There are less calories in a boiled egg.
Decorated hard-boiled eggs?
Roll them and break them?
Then eat them. No. This needs to be reported. Why all this emphasis on eggs?
Broccoli would be more healthy. Don't you think so, Caroline?
An egg is the same shape as the stone.
Are they now talking about eating stones?
Definitely need to report this. What did you say, Katie?
Sit down and listen.
Jesus came to earth to live like a man. He was one of us, part of God's great plan. He taught us the truth and what God's love meant. Many people followed him everywhere he went. One day on a donkey, he entered a great town. His followers all cheered, but some men wore a frown. Those men hated Jesus and all that he had done. They were cross when Jesus said he was God's own son. Jesus shared a supper with all his closest friends. He knew his time on earth was coming to an end. The men who hated Jesus found him praying there. They took him to be judged. They thought it was not fair. And for the page that I've missed out, he went into a garden late that night to pray. Desperate, he said, "Father, is this the only way?" The men who hated Jesus found him praying there. They took him to be judged, even though it was not fair. They asked Jesus questions for a very long time, but could find him guilty of not a single crime. When the ruler called Pilate wished to set Jesus free, the many in the crowd shouted, "Hang him on a tree, crucify him." Jesus was not guilty, but they put him on a cross. Just as God had told him, his life must be lost. Suddenly the sky was dark and everyone was scared. 6 hours later, Jesus died and all his friends despaired. Some men took his body and put it in a cave. They rolled a stone across to make a sealed cave. On the third day, to their surprise, the stone had rolled away and Jesus was alive. And all of this is God's plan, that Jesus had to die, to pay the price for sin, for all our wrongs and lies. And so, because of Jesus, when all our lives are through, we can live in heaven if we trust and love him too.
So you you see, an egg is shaped like the stone that rolled away.
The egg is a great way to remember that Jesus died,
then lived again when the stone was rolled away.
I think that is what we shall report.
Let's go and start on these eggs.
Wait a minute, we don't have any Easter eggs.
Luckily in this church we have a wonderful lady called Anne Anderson who provides an egg for everyone when they leave the church. But she's also a bit quirky because she hides the eggs. So basically there are 7 pails hidden somewhere in the church, and if everybody's to get an Easter egg at the end, you need to go and find them now.
Let's start looking.
Thank you.
Those who missed, so last week was my birthday and I got a Fitbit. And after this exercise, I think I got my steps in. And I hit my zone minutes. So thank you very much for that, Christine. I think a round of applause. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. Really had great fun. How do you eat the Easter egg? How do you eat the Easter egg? Any ideas? How do you eat one? How do you eat one? You? You bite it. Wow. Well. We'll have to just put this over here out of my hands. Yes, you have to eat it. Oh dear, come on. Just hold on for me. Okay, that's better. So yes, you have to eat it. Okay, let's go with that. You eat an Easter egg by using your mouth. Okay, so I've got an Easter egg here. Okay, so who's going to go first? Okay, open up your mouth. Oh, you first need to take the wrapper off. Okay, let's go with that. So how you eat an Easter egg is firstly, you need to take the Easter egg off, or the wrapper off. And then after taking the wrapper off, you have to open up your mouth very wide. And then I push it in there. Okay, let's try that. No, you said it. Okay, so wrapper is off. Okay, Nick. Okay, open up your mouth. Here, it's coming. Yes, that's better. So how you eat an Easter egg is firstly, you need to take the wrapper off. But importantly, you have to break it. Okay, and that's the fun part. So I'm going to break the Easter egg. So I'm going to see if I can... Oh, look at that. I broke it. So the only way to eat the Easter egg is not to open your mouth so wide that you dislocate your jaws. No, that's not the proper way of eating your Easter egg. The way you eat the Easter egg is firstly, you have to go for it and break the Easter egg. I find that to be fantastic. I'm going to break it a little bit more. There you go. It is only through breaking an Easter egg that there will be enough pieces for us to eat. And what's great about breaking an Easter egg, you can break it in all small little pieces. And what do you do with an Easter egg with all the little pieces? You can share it. And let's say there's about 100 people. You break the Easter egg in 100 pieces. And if you can, I don't know how many people can feed, can have a wee bit of this chocolate. But breaking an Easter egg is so important. So after breaking it, there's all these little pieces. Well, one piece I can have myself. I'm not going to have it now, but I can share it as well. Do you want to have a little piece? Just a little piece? There you go. You can have a little piece there. You can break a little bit off. Not have a whole bit. You have to share. You have to share. That's the point of an Easter egg. Easter egg, you can have a little bit. Break off. There you go. So an Easter egg is a great regular. That's too big for you. There you go. Just a little bit. There you go. Just a little bit. There you go. Okay. And if you take a large piece, and you see your friend next to you, and you can break that piece to share it with the person next to you. Now, this is what the cross of God is about. The only way that we can enjoy the beauty and the love and the peace of God was that his body had to be broken so that the love and the peace can be shared with all. And it's only through God's body, the death of God, that it is possible for him to become alive for us to share in that life and love. So it's so important to appreciate that God had to die. Because only through his death that he was able to come alive. And through that circle of death and becoming alive, we share in that death and that being alive. And this is one of the, well, there's many interpretations of an Easter egg, but this is one of the interpretations of why we have an Easter egg in church, is this whole idea of it needs to be broken, and after it breaks, we are able to enjoy the sweetness. We are able to share the sweetness with other people. And one of the beautiful things we can say today to people as we go around town is to say, you know what? Happy Easter. Have a joyful Easter. What that means is that small sweetness that we have received from God, we can remind other people about. You can say, you know, the sweetness of God is for you as well. It's for me and it's for you. And that's one of the reasons why we have an Easter egg. Okay. I think it's now time for you to pray, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Are you ready? Okay.
All a world for us to live in. You love us and you sent your son Jesus to tell us so. Jesus showed us many things.
To live and cheer and dance and sing, to learn and pray, to help and care. Jesus promised he'd always be there for us. He died but came back to life. Let us celebrate when he is alive. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. We will continue with our worship with the next hymn. That will be Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah.
Our first reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 to 15. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians.' It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Reading from verse 1. The resurrection of Christ. "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but by the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed." Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings of his holy word.
We are celebrating today. Today is a good day because we are honoring the resurrection of God. We are honoring the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is a time to mark a key event many years ago that still influences us to this very day. Millions of people right around the world reflect back to the day what we are celebrating today. It influences us because through faith we share in God's death and resurrection. And this is a key theological point that Paul is making for us in our reading, is that we share in God's death and in God's resurrection. That circle of death and life, we are part of that. It is vital to understand the death and the resurrection of our Lord because it sets the foundation for how we understand our own life and death. How we live and how we think about death is influenced by our faith in Christ. The obvious statement is that one can only be resurrected, only stand out, come alive from death after death has set in. One cannot become alive if there wasn't some kind of death involved. That's quite obvious. Paul makes this doctrine very clear in his letter by stating that Christ has died and became alive. This message is very important. And he refers to it as the good news. So if someone asks you, what is the good news? The good news is that Christ physically died and he physically rose from the dead. Due to this actions of Christ, we have hope for life after death. Due to this actions, our faith states that we have life also after death. This we call the good news. God's body was broken as I broke the Easter egg, and that sweetness is spread to us, for us to enjoy. And that sweetness is the hope of life after death. The death and resurrection of Christ are foundational to our faith. If you take the death and the resurrection of Christ away, just put it somewhere, then there's no reason for us to call ourselves a Christian. There's no reason for us to be in this building. Because the death and the resurrection is key for why we are here every Sunday. It is from such an understanding that we believe we will live after death. I really want to make this point clear because Paul states this reality by mentioning the number of witnesses that have seen the living Christ after death. Paul states, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers, and many of them are still alive. He makes this point clear that Christ's death and resurrection were not a spiritual or mystical experience. Now, you do get people that interpret the Bible in this way by saying, no, this is a spiritual and mystical experience. But after reading in my exegesis of this text, it's clear for me that Paul is stating this, that God, Jesus' death and his resurrection happened physically. It was not a spiritual or mystical experience. No, it was real and tangible. It was real and tangible. Paul himself was an eyewitness. Paul himself saw and experienced the living Christ. Paul makes his humility clear because before his conversion, he persecuted the church of Christ. It is likely that he experienced some kind of shame after his actions against God's people. So Paul was against the church and he basically made through the people in prison, and that personality just changed and he became a follower. The irony is that the same Christ that he despised, that he persecuted, converted him to believe in this good news. From the bad that Paul did, God brought about goodness. This brings about a reassuring thought today for us. That is, from evil, God can bring goodness. From evil, God can bring goodness. There was Paul persecuting the church, and he was the person that turned around to become a follower. From evil, goodness can come. In devastation, it is possible to see beauty. It is possible to see goodness coming to the fore. But for this to be possible, we need to be patient and wait. Therefore, be open, be patient, and wait to experience the good that God has to offer, even though it seems to be highly unlikely. And this is the circle of Easter. We start with this, the lead up to the death and the darkness and the anxiety, and then Sunday comes and there's hope, there's life, there's sun, there's beauty. But for us to get to Sunday, we have to be patient. We have to wait for 3 days. Paul gives the impression that he did not deserve to be called an apostle. He didn't deserve to be called a Christian because of his evil actions. He makes it clear that it is only by the grace of God that he, Paul, was able to spread the good news. He wasn't honoring himself. No, he was honoring God for being graceful so that he could spread the good news. The message that we can take from this is that the focus is not on our own actions and intentions, but rather it's about our response to the gift of grace. It's about our response to the gift of grace. God's actions are first, and second is our response to the actions of God. The question for us is, how do we respond to the grace of God? How do we respond? How do we respond to the death and the resurrection of Jesus, knowing that he done it for us? And this is the beauty of our theology, is that God has done it for me and for you. It wasn't random. He done it for you and for me. What do we make of the thought that we may have life because God died for us? It seems to me that Paul responds to the grace of God. His response to the grace of God was to work very hard. He makes it very clear in his letter, he worked very hard. He worked very hard due to his sense of gratefulness, and I do get the sense he felt a little bit guilty because of what he'd done when he was younger, and that was persecuting the church. But he worked very hard in response to the grace of God. And he did not take credit for his hard work. Rather, he honored God. There are many ways for us to respond to the grace of God. We can go for a long walk. We can pray. We can abstain. I know some of you abstain from anything sweet for the last couple of months. We can maybe start something, start a business in honor of God. We can build something. We can donate our time or our money. We can live more simplistically. We can live more truthfully. We can make a decision not to participate in that which is evil and wrong. My personal response to the grace of God was the decision to come work in Scotland. So as you can hear, I'm from South Africa, and my family and I decided to come to Scotland to work for God. That was my personal way of saying thank you to the grace of God and coming to a different country to work for him. That was my personal response. But what is yours? How do you respond to the grace of God? The wonderful thing is that one can be truly creative. One can be really creative in your response to this message, to this knowledge that God has given you life. There are many unique ways to respond to the grace of God. Although this is the case, our reading is still very specific about how we should respond to the grace. The reading is very to the point, actually, of how we go about embracing this message. We can do a lot, but there is something specific. It is called persistence. And Paul is making this crystal clear. We need to be persistent. In other words, keep on believing in the good news. Day in and day out, year in and year out, with every single breath, keep holding on to the physical death and resurrection of Christ. Keep holding on. Through faith, keep believing that we share in the death of God and his resurrection. So, with all the creative things we can do, this is the one thing we should really do, and that is to persist in believing in the physical death and resurrection of God. With the wonderful knowledge that we are part of that, that we share in that. Paul makes it so clear. Continue to believe in the message I told you. Such faith sets the foundation for how we understand our own life and death. This is the foundation of how we go about life. By faith we live, by faith we die. This is only possible due to the gift of grace. We are celebrating today because it is a happy occasion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord is alive and He is reigning from heaven above. Hallelujah, hallelujah. May the influence of His sacrifice and grace be an influence today on our lives and to the days to come. Amen. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Those who are able, let's stand and worship God. As we look to you, we sing and praise because you conquer death. The sting of death is no more, and therefore we have hope in life. Jesus, you have risen, therefore we shout with joy. Thank you that you have taken upon yourself all our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you have intervened, taking our place. You have given us hope, you have given us peace, and you have made the light shine upon us. We bring to you so many people that do not have hope. We bring to four people in our conscience that we know about that is hopeless. We bring to you families and countries that have no peace, where conflict and trauma is raging. We bring families, situations, or countries that we know of to you. We bring to you situations that seems to have no good outcome. It seems to be a hopeless situation. Lord, may your light be there where that it seems to be all darkness. Lord, then I bring to you also the ruling elders of this church. I ask, Lord, that you will bless each one of them. May they continue to do good work, inspiring the congregation, inspiring the community. Then, Lord, I ask your blessing on this congregation. May the light and the peace be upon each one here. May your good news spread in this community. And may your love be known by all in this area. We pray for them. We pray for this community. And we ask for your blessing upon them. Help us to respond to your grace, Lord. Help us to respond to the message that we have life in you. May that response be out of a sense of creativity, out of a sense of excitement. But most of all, Lord, may we persist. May we continue to hold on to the message that we have life, that the message that you died physically and rose physically from death. From that knowledge, we can know, we share in that as well. Give us endurance to continue in our faith. We hold on to you, Lord, and we hold on to the good news. We pray this in the name of your Holy Son that died and rose again. And we sing his praises. Amen. The offerings will now be received. Let us pray together. Lord, as it is a time of Easter, as it is a time of where we think and celebrate your resurrection, we are very thankful, and therefore we bring our offerings to you. We bring our little sacrifices to you with the hope that you will multiply it so that we can do good with these donations in our community and to the honor and glory of you. Amen. We will be singing our last hymn, and it's Jesus Puts His Song Into Our Hearts. My hope is with this song that everyone will have a smile on their face. So let us sing together. And you may dance as well. By faith we live, by faith we die. Such faith is anchored in God's death and resurrection. Today is a day of celebration, because Christ physically died and he physically rose from the dead. Due to this action, we have hope for life after death. This we call the good news. Go from here and have faith, and keep on believing that we share in the death and the life of Christ. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds.